Grand Forks. Welcome to Mickey Ichabod's Weird Wrestling, live from Grand Forks' Best Source. I am Mickey Ichabod, here with my co-host, Dale. The wizard's taking the week off, so he needs to go to his summer home in Malibu. Yes, he does. And he leaves me here to talk with all you wonderful people. So, all right, tonight we're going to be talking about Hardcore Legends, and this is a Volume 1. So expect a sequel in the future. But first, before we go, we're going to make a shout-out to our friends at River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are Demon Slayer, Bob Marley One Love, Dune Part 2, and The Beekeeper. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. Sounds like a good time. And as the wizard would say, where's my stroganoff? So, yeah, we have a good show for you today. We're going to talk about, you know, as I said, this is a part one. We're going to talk about a few pretty hardcore wrestlers. Some you may have heard of and some you may not have. So,
well, Icky, so for people watching the video version of the show, they could see they have the people we are focusing on behind us. We have Nick Gage, John Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, the Stinger, the recently retired Stinger, and his cohort, Darby Allin. And Mr. Pogo.
Mr. Pogo, yes. A lot of people probably have never heard of Mr. Pogo, so we're just going to intrigue them to watch some of his matches. So,
well, which wrestler would you like to start on first?
Let's start with probably the most popular ones first. I'd go John Moxley.
John Moxley, yep. So what stands out to you about what makes John Moxley a hardcore legend?
Well, you know, he started, a lot of people don't know this, but he started off in a company called Combat Zone Wrestling, which is probably one
it's
of the
like
most...
like a Southeast Coast, right?
New Jersey. Which is probably the most hardcore promotion besides IWA South. If I remember, IWA South is just nuts, too.
So, and Game Changer, right?
And Game Changer. But he came from CZW, and that's where he got the name John Moxley. You know, he didn't want to use his real name, so he just used the name John Moxley. John Moxley actually wrote a book a few years ago called Mox.
You borrowed it to me. It was a heck of a read.
It was a good read, and it talks about one of the other wrestlers we're going to talk about today, too, Nick Gage. But we'll talk about that later.
Any standout excerpts that come to mind from Moxley's book that kind of enlightened you to his hardcore background?
Well, you know, it may not seem very hardcore, but he comes out to that song Wild Thing.
Yeah. You know, actually, I liked his original AEW theme. I kind of miss it. But, you know, Wild Thing, that's a fitting song.
He came out to Wild Thing in Combat Zone, actually.
I know he was surprised. I think he said in that book he was surprised that Tony Khan paid the big bucks to get the license for that song to play for his AEW entrance theme.
When AEW first started off and John Moxley was in it, he was using barbed wire. He was using thumbtacks. I think he suplexed someone through a plate glass table once.
He had some big hardcore brawls with Kenny Omega in the early AEW matches
what
in their
about,
history. In AEW?
Eddie Kingston. He had some good matches with Eddie Kingston.
When he was world champion, they had that awesome I Quit match. And I loved the ending to that, where he could tell Eddie Kingston didn't want to say I quit, and he actually did, but it was like a soft I quit, which you just kind of have to see it. Look up the clip to it. The way they delivered it, they performed it. It was a great story it told, as well as a hell of a hardcore brawl.
Well, Eddie Kingston is a hardcore legend in his own right. I think he came from the independents. Hardcore deathmatch scene.
Yeah. Maybe Volume 2, Eddie Kingston.
Maybe Volume 2, yeah. But, you know, I really like John Moxley. I didn't like him so much as Dean Ambrose.
He could tell he was really restrained. Well, the first couple of years, he was just like, you know, the Shield.
The Shield,
He was a faction guy.
Well, you know, all three members of the Shield have gone to do great things, like Seth Rollins. Yeah. Roman Reigns has been champion for how long? John Moxley was champion.
And, well, then when he broke out of the Shield, you got to see some of that hardcore style. And some matches he got to step it up a little bit. But it was kind of, a lot of the times it was a little bit of like a Looney Tunes hardcore style. Like, there was one point where he was like spraying like ketchup and mustard at people, I remember. Just like this like kind of Looney Tunes take on it, which, well, was like, really?
You know, one of the other wrestlers we're going to mention, Nick Gage, took a pizza cutter to John Moxley's face in a match.
Yeah, and that's why I found a picture of him to use for the background for that. That's his, that's kind of his trademark weapon, right?
Is the pizza cutter, yeah. He actually, we'll talk about this more when we get to him, but he actually had a wrestling match with David Arquette because David Arquette wanted to like renew the faith in the fans to wrestling, you know, after that big thing in WCW where he won the championship.
Any final anecdotes about Jon Moxley? What makes his hardcore style stand out to you?
I don't know.
Or a favorite hardcore match?
He just doesn't give a damn.
I loved his Omega match, Kenny Omega match, and that match you mentioned with Nick Gage was just amazing. And I'm trying to think of WWE ones. Yeah, I thought he actually got a pretty good match, a good kind of hardcore match, or more, it was more like a weapons match with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. I wouldn't say it was exactly like a hardcore brawl, but it got a lot of good weaponry into the mix.
Yeah. Well, it's not like the hardcore match between Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn the giant mouse trap.
Oh, that was fun, but for all different types of reasons. But I love your pick for, and I like what he's doing now with the Blackpool Combat
That's
Club.
That's what I was going to mention. All members of Blackpool Combat Club I don't mind Claudio Cassius, or however you say
Castagnoli.
I don't mind Brian Danielson, who was Daniel Bryan for a long time,
legend.
I don't mind Wheeler Yuta, I think was his name.
He earned his stripes, Wheeler Yuta. I didn't like him when he was with the Best Friends at all, but he has won me over as part of the Blackpool Combat Club.
I like the Blackpool Combat Club personally. They're all good at what they do, and Jon Moxley is just the hardcore guy of the group.
Agreed. And I think, again, high recommend too, like you said, for his book, Mox. Great read.
That's what I was going to say. You know, if you want to read a good book, it's not very long. It's maybe 240, 250.
Yeah, I think it's a quick read. Yeah. So do you want to focus on Nick Gage since you kind of brought him up there?
Yeah, sure. Nick Gage, really hardcore guy, wrestled for CZW in Game Changer Wrestling, actually died in a match. He was doing the Tournament of Death. I think it was 16 or 18 or somewhere in between 15 and 20. And he bled so much that he died in the helicopter that picked him up to bring him to the hospital like twice.
Then they had to resuscitate him.
Resuscitate, yes.
Resuscitate. I thought it was resuscitate. Don't trust my words.
But yeah, he actually died, and then he came back, and he goes, "I am the only person to die competing in a death match."
And he lives to tell and continues to this very day.
I'm surprised. Like Terry Funk hasn't died. He probably just get so old he would have died in the ring. You know.
Well, Nick Gage, I had no idea who this guy was until, I'm trying to think what came first, is his couple of AEW matches where you got to do a couple special guest appearances, or that Dark Side of the Ring documentary on him. That really enlightened me to Nick Gage and his background.
Nick Gage is awesome.
Yeah, I was so glad to see, you know, after him having like all this, just to have, and he went to jail for a robbery.
He robbed a bank. Yeah.
And,
he went to, Atlantic City and tried to blow all the money and...
Yeah, he
turned himself in, though, if I remember
he turned himself in. I remember they covered it in the documentary really good. It's the Dark Side of the Ring series. It's on Hulu. I highly recommend people check it out.
I would recommend it, too. Dark Side of the Ring, Tales from the Territory is made by the same people. Great.
New season is on right now, too. They just had their first episode on John Tenta, season 5.
And as we were talking before, you know, we're talking hardcore today. Well, if you look back in the days at the territories, they were hardcore as hell.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. That could be a whole other future episode. Nick Gage, I really first got to see his stuff when he had those couple of hardcore matches on AEW as far as him actually wrestling. I mean, he's just like your basic wrestler, but his hardcore stuff, him mixing in that pizza slicer in AEW, just, it's gruesome.
There was a match with David Arquette to renew Arquette in the wrestling fans' eyes, and he goes, don't do anything to my face. That's how I make my money. And they're
fighting. Gage took offense.
they're fighting, and Nick Gage had asked David Arquette ahead of time, so you want to do a death match? And, you know, David Arquette says yes, because I want to renew.
He wants to redeem. A lot of people accuse him for ruining WCW. He kind of wants to win back, get back in fans' favor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Basically. And anyways, he did something to Nick Gage, and Nick Gage just got so ticked off at him that he took a pizza slicer to his head.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny, because we were talking about that match with John Moxley earlier. He opened up John Moxley's mouth and went like this.
Yeah.
With the pizza cutter.
And, you know, same thing in that said match was AEW picked. So he just did that pizza slicer spot. And of all of AEW sponsors, they decided to play to go into commercial, Domino's. Going to commercial break. They did a Pizza Hut commercial right after they did. And they got a lot of fallout from Pizza Hut. And they were able to smooth things over, though. But yeah, needless to say, I don't think you'll see Nick Gage endorsing Pizza Hut or Domino's anytime soon.
No, probably not. He's a great, you know, even though he has his demons, he's a good wrestler.
You know, I bet he's got to have it in his gimmick stand, like a Nick Gage endorsed pizza slicer, though, right? Maybe yes. Like a brand?
Oh, yeah. It's like Fonzie. Does the whistles.
The whistles? There you go. So, you know, slice up some pizza with your good pal Nick Gage, right?
It's like, you know, I've been talking about us making shirts for Icky Ichabod, so mm-hmm. you could wear Icky Ichabod, the Wizard of mm-hmm. Weird, on your shirt to promote us.
Do you have any final thoughts about Nick Gage's hardcore legend? Just another anecdote?
Not really. Can I show the fans something really quick?
It's all you, man.
My John Moxley haircut.
You're moxing it up. Yeah.
I just didn't realize that until you pulled up the picture of John Moxley, that I kind of have a haircut like his now.
There you go. So do you want to focus on Mr. Pogo?
Let's do Sting, you know.
Sting, yeah. So I kind of threw one wrestler into the three you wanted to cover. I kind of wanted to give a shout-out to Sting. Now, maybe a lot of people may be thinking, Sting, hardcore legend?
That's what I said, yeah.
This is more of a focus on his last 3 years in AEW. I think he's been teaming with Darby Allin, and I think this is more on Darby Allin. Darby Allin, I definitely consider hardcore.
I love Darby Allin. You know who Darby Allin reminds me of? Spike Dudley.
Yeah. Yeah, Spike Dudley, but like with a way more believable. I mean, Spike Dudley was definitely a risk taker and thrill seeker, but he didn't have that musculature. And Darby Allin kind of has it, even though he's got a pretty thin build too. But compared to Spike Dudley, there's something about it where he's more convincing in the ring. He had, I think, one of the best runs as TNT champion, was a hell of a fighting champion. Probably one of my favorite all-time AEW matches was him defending the TNT title against Miro, where he lost the title. That's probably one of my all-time favorite AEW matches. But I thought he brought out a hardcore style of Sting, where all of a sudden it was Sting doing these tag matches with Darby and these triple tags and quadruple tags. You saw Sting doing like dives off of balconies and like all these other crazy dives that a 61-year-old Sting, you're like, how is he doing
well,
this?
Well, Sting, you know, is basically training the next generation for what they need to do, you know. I wish more wrestlers would be like that. You got some of these wrestlers that just hold on and hold on and hold on, and you know, they never think about training the next generation. And
you want to talk about hardcore with Darby Allin, to give him a shout out. So he's taking a break from AEW. He's going to climb Mount freaking Everest. How hardcore is that? And he did a promo on AEW last week. He's like, there's a good chance I may die in this. So if you don't see me again, I just want to give a thanks to the fans. I mean, freaking hardcore to the extreme.
He's a risk taker. Yeah. He reminds me of a friend of mine because he's a skateboarder and he's from Seattle. Yeah. And he's
done so many creative spots in AEW with like all these crazy body bag spots with wrestlers where they just chuck them down the stairs in a body bag. It's like, oh gosh, Darby, that's...
Well, you know how the song goes, you don't turn the back on the wolf pack because you might wind up in a body bag.
Oh, hey, that's a good shout out, good callback. But another Sting anecdote for his hardcore side. His final match, he just had his retirement match. Him and Darby teamed up against the Young Bucks. And Sting was, and Darby. Darby went through a glass panel. His body got all cut up, and he was kind of taken out of like the last half of the match. So it was just Sting against the Young Bucks. And the Bucks were just merciless, just beating the crap out of Sting. I'm like, wow, they're doing all these crazy spots to Sting, giving him the double V triggers. And eventually they put Sting through a glass panel. I'm like, I don't know if Sting should be doing this. And then he kept kicking out of everything. And for a while, I was like, Sting, you shouldn't be kicking out of everything. This is ridiculous. But in the end, his fighting spirit won me over, and I was just a fan, and I was absolutely loving it. It was a hell of a retirement match. I highly recommend everyone check it out.
You know who else needs to retire who's been working really hard?
Hmm.
Bill Alfonso.
Hey, he put on a hell of a performance at Time Bomb last year. Yeah. So I guess we should get focused on the final wrestler.
Mr. Pogo, the one of the greatest hardcore legends that Japan had to offer. He passed away about 7-8 years ago of I think it was a heart attack or something. But he'd use fire, he'd use drills, he'd use saws, he'd use scythes, he would pizza cutters, fire, just anything this man could get his hands on, he would use as a weapon.
So how were you first exposed to him? This guy, he did some wrestling in America in the territory days in like the 70s and 80s, but like mostly he had his hardcore dominance in the 90s in Japan.
And FMW and Big Japan Wrestling, which are two really hardcore promotions out of Japan. I think Big Japan still exists. I'm not sure about FMW. I don't know what Asushi Onita's been doing.
We see him shooting a fireball out there in the background here. Has that been one of his trademark things to do?
Yeah. You know, when they were talking about XPW back in the day and they had that whole Sabu angle where Sabu and Lazy were taking over XPW, I think, personally, Rob Black should have gotten Mr. Pogo and had Mr. Pogo versus Sabu instead of Terry Funk versus Sabu. Terry Funk is a great wrestler. He's a great hardcore guy. And he's an influence to many hardcore wrestlers. But I thought, you know, maybe it'd be funny just to see Mr. Pogo fight Sabu. Because they were always on each other's butts in FMW and Big Japan. And
I was looking up his history doing his hardcore. It was interesting because he actually traveled a lot of different American territories, like a couple stints in Stampede Wrestling, a lot of Midwest territories from the mid-70s to like the mid-80s. And so it was like interesting reading up on which territory he went to every couple of years. But what do you have a certain Mr. Pogo match that stood out to you the most?
Not really. They're all good to me.
How
did
you?
He was actually king of the deathmatch in a couple of the promotions in Japan.
Did you just end up tracking some random Japan DVDs down and just kind of discovered them that way? Or
well,
some books?
Our friend Eric Morrison gave me a couple FMW DVDs.
Yeah, yeah, gosh, yeah. I wanted to watch some matches, but I just read up on his history, and gosh, what a background. And unfortunately, he passed away a couple years ago.
You know who Mr. Pogo kind of reminds me of, the American version of Mr. Pogo is? Balls Mahoney.
Balls Mahoney, yeah, another ECW. Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Balls
yeah.
Mahoney, it's like a mixture between Balls Mahoney, Ian Rotten, and Axel Rotten, if you're going to talk about the equivalent of Mr. Pogo in the United States.
Yeah,
because you know Ian Rotten, great. He owned. I think it was IWA South. That was a really hardcore promotion, like I mentioned earlier. And Axel Rotten was always very. They had that Taipei Death Match where they glued glass on their finger on their hands. Ian and Axel Rotten, and it was just nuts. And Fonzie actually stopped the match for blood. And they go, "You can't stop a Taipei Death Match for blood."
That's right. Oh gosh, Taipei Deathmatch. Those are some.
They still do that in Big Japan.
Oh gosh, I remember the ones they had in a couple in ECW original ECW. They had.
Did you ever hear of a? There was a match in Japan that they had cactuses and scorpions in the ring.
Which promotion was that?
I think it was either Big Japan or FMW.
Oh wow.
Then there was like this one called a circus tent death match. Was basically you're fighting on a scaffold, and then underneath you is a web of barbed wire, and if you fell into the barbed wire, you lost.
Gosh, all kinds of creativity in Japan. Any final thoughts on this installment of Hardcore Legends? Anything we left out that you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
No, not really. You know, it went well. I really enjoyed this show. I like talking about hardcore wrestling. I like death matches because I wanted to be a deathmatch wrestler for a long time, but I was never big enough, you know.
You got to be a hardcore match referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I think we got a lot of ideas that came out here for a volume two down the line, it looks like.
That would be awesome. We can do a volume two.
All right. That's food for thought for a later episode. Are you ready to hear some words from our friends?
Yes.
All right. We got some. Got to give a shout out to our buddies at Executive Properties.
Are you still putting off that project around the house that's been bugging you forever? Do you think you can wait until spring and call a contractor and have the work done ASAP? Well, good luck with that. Executive Properties has openings right now to get that project done. In fact, you can check out their Google reviews. Diane says Executive Properties did a roof project and remodeled a bathroom in our house. We were happy with their quality of work, and the projects were completed in a timely manner. We will use Executive Properties for our next home project. Get that project done sooner than later. Call Executive Properties, 701-330-1273.
Well, thank you for joining us today in the Weird Wrestling Bunker.
Is that the name of this arena?
That's the name of this arena because the Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema is the movie mortuary, so.
Weird Wrestling Bunker. So, what are you covering next week for Weird Cinema?
What are we covering next week? I don't know yet. Actually, I do know. We will be covering the TV show The Righteous Gemstones, the first season. So, stay weird, Grand Forks.